Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Are You the One or Happa podcast for episode 6. I am Brian Cohen. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Al Escher. Allie, how are you?
I have a huge case of the giggles, so I'm hoping to get through this podcast. I just had to remove my mic from my mouth while you were talking, just to allow you to do the intro.
It's okay. There's four seconds recordings in my recycle bin right now of me about to say hello and then one of us cracking up, so.
Don't give away our secrets. People. In other news, I just ate a tremendous amount of guac, so I am doing amazing.
I feel like you eat a lot of tacos before doing the show. Is this like always a Taco Thursday for you?
I eat a lot of Mexican food in general, okay. But you only talk to me on Thursdays.
Fair enough.
We have a couple of updates from last week. First and foremost, in addition to the Chuck shit that happened last week, after the podcast, Plainview Sue got in on the action, so you can go check her out on Twitter. She called him a D-bag. It was pretty hilarious. I'm going to ask you to verify this, although I'm going to defer to this listener because she said she recently rewatched season one. But you were asking last week, and I couldn't help you out, if you're allowed to pick people for the date who aren't your match. And Jen, or GenACV2 on Twitter said they're allowed to pick people who aren't their matches for dates. Dre did it in season one when he picked Ashley.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
I don't recall that. But
I mean, sounds right. I don't remember much of Dre or Ashley at all. So
we'll defer to our
listeners. That's a problem, but we can go with that.
So thank you. And I have to eat a little crow this week because last week I did say that I doubt Kayla said anything to Chelsea. Mostly I said that because I thought she was incapable of keeping up with Chelsea in a verbal argument, but I was wrong. Chelsea tweeted at me, "What they left out is her calling me a dumb bitch and saying I need to be on Weight Watchers. You would blow up too. Sorry." It proves the point of what we were kind of saying about Kayla is that Chelsea's just, you know, a better verbal arguer. Like, I just feel like I would put my money on Chelsea if they were going to get into a logical argument. Nothing against Kayla. And that just shows Kayla does low blows. And it's completely ridiculous because if the camera really does add 10 pounds, even with the camera weight, Chelsea does not need to be on Weight Watchers. So that's trying to be smart, but it wasn't. So apologies. I mean, look, clearly, I guess Kayla was asking for it. So there's at least a reason why Chelsea was hating on her back.
That's fair. All right. That's good job by Chelsea then to defend herself.
Yeah, we're happy to know what really happened off scene. We're only going to be able to talk about what we see on the camera, but, you know, let us know if we missed something. We're happy to hear it.
Yes, and good we got that preface in early this episode.
In other news, we got 2 additional 5-star reviews.
Yay!
This week. So on our iTunes, which is robhasawebsite.com/challenge iTunes, where you can subscribe and leave us reviews. I mean, 5-star reviews are great. Other reviews are good too, whatever you want.
Just five star.
The subject is, or the title is, Amazing Podcast. It's by dsmith8002. He says, by far my favorite podcast. They make a great team, combining Brian's keen analytical mind with Ali's epic rants that assure me that all will be right in the world. Keep up the great work, guys. I would never want to watch this crap without you. And then he says he's not sure who the Rob guy is, whose name is in the title. So we have at least one listener who we got ourselves.
Yay for us.
So thank you very much, dsmith8002. And then on the main feed for the podcast, for the network, reality TV Rehap Ups, Javier Lopez 516, the title, Are You the One Recap. Love listening to Are You the One podcast from Brian and Allie. They're hilarious and make watching the actual show that much better. Seriously, the podcast is sometimes better than the show. Keep up the great work. P.S. Allie, your voice is sexy, which that makes me uncomfortable. I'm just kidding, and not masculine. And thank you for everyone who wished I was having a better day. That was really, really nice of you all. So thank you. And thank you for your 5-star review.
Yeah. Plenty Sue passed along the good wishes. She said, oh, I hope Allie's doing okay. So oh. I think she's doing fine.
PBS. You don't know. She's doing fine. You don't know my life.
I don't know your life. That's true. We talk Thursday during tacos.
All right. So can we talk about the giant bottle of ranch that opens this episode?
Whoa,
did you catch that?
No.
Oh my God. That's the most interesting thing that happens in the first 2 minutes, because they're just, all they're doing is like pitching about how much they suck, and they're all eating, and Hannah is like putting ranch on something, and it is like an industrial Costco size bottle of ranch.
I wonder if all the other condiments are like that. Have we spotted like the ketchup and mayo, what those look like?
Oh, I have a big mayo issue. So even the ranch was a problematic for me, but if I saw a giant tub of mayo like
So you're one of those that like, even like the smell of mayo will like drive you crazy?
It's hereditary. I got it from my mom. She can't even look at a jar of mayo in a fridge, in the refrigerator.
I love mayo. It's great. It's great.
That's
on a
why
sandwich.
We only talk on Thursdays.
No mayo on your tacos.
Do you put mayo on
tacos? No, I don't.
Because we would have to change the whole topic of this podcast. It would just become a Mexican food intervention.
It's really good on burgers, though.
All right, let's move on, because I know there are other mayo haters out there like me who are throwing up right now. My condolences to you. My sympathies.
Fair enough. Yeah, so they suck again. And then we get the first brief of Austin, basically, for the entire season. So welcome to Are You the One, Austin?
I didn't even bother writing it down. I went right to the honeymoon suite. So I wrote giant bottle of ranch. We suck. And then I moved on to Connor and Chelsea.
It's so fine. It was just the first brief of this is what we need to do with strategy talk.
So. Well, we've seen that like briefly from Austin before on
very briefly
or two or something. So yeah. I feel like that's all they want us to think about Austin.
That's all he is. Yeah. But then, yeah, that's for his character, that's all he is, for sure. But I'm sure as a person, there's a whole other thing. But remember, this is only what we see.
It could be worse. I would rather be known for being a person only about strategy than pretty much known for anything else you could be known for.
It's definitely, he's keeping up with his, like, business acumen. So, got that going for him, I guess. But, yeah, so honeymoon suite, Connor and Chelsea.
Now, can you refresh my memory about the honeymoon suite last year? Was it like a hotel room like this? I thought it was like a house.
It was a hotel room, but we were under the impression that it was like their own private thing. But then it turned out it was just like a public hotel room because they would be like at the pool with like just tourists and guests around.
Right. I just feel like this seemed more like, are they going to see? I'm assuming they're going to see the other people when they come. That would be an interesting twist, though, is if you're only allowed to be with the person. Assuming other people come, you're only allowed to be with, like, it's just the two of them. They can only be in that room. That would be a good show.
And what did you think? I wasn't that impressed with it. I mean, I guess it's nice, but I mean, any hotel in Hawaii with the views and the sun and the beaches is going to be nice enough. So I wasn't that impressed.
It was nicer than Exile on the Challenge, but not as nice as a fantasy suite on The Bachelor.
No, and update, Chelsea and Connor still have yet to kiss on TV.
But this was kind of interesting because we get Connor saying that he's open to something with Chelsea. I mean, I guess acknowledging that nothing's happened, but that he's open to it now that they're here. And let's just jump right ahead to the next time we see them at the matchup ceremony. What do you make of them being like, things are great, we're smooth sailing? Smooth sailing into the friend zone, or
that's what I think. I keep getting like the friend vibe. It's like, oh, they're like dressing up in costume. It's like it didn't seem romantic at all. Even when they're on the deck, like having their first, like they're sitting across from each other, not even sitting next to each other in the chairs. Like it just felt the whole thing seems friends. And I mean, maybe that's what Chelsea thinks too, but I don't think so. But I think that's the way Connor sees it.
It's weird because we've seen Connor be lovey-dovey with Kayla, so we know what Connor looks like when he's like making moves. That said, when I saw that scene, I was just like, oh my God, Kayla, what's her name, Chelsea looks gorgeous. So I mean, Connor is like a male, you know. So it's like he has this gorgeous woman who he has a connection with. I don't know that there's nothing that's going to happen during the next 5 weeks. They're in paradise on vacation together. I don't know if Connor's just the kind of guy that he's like tainted by the connection he had with Kayla or what the deal is. I mean, I guess if it's not there, it's not there. But I don't really see why it wouldn't be, except for the fact that we just haven't seen it.
It's just a weird thing. They just haven't. Why would they not show us? Like, even them, like, just whenever they hug, it doesn't even feel like that romantic. So I don't know. But
I also think if something did happen, we would have seen it. I want to believe that MTV wants to promote, like, look how great this perfect match is. Like,
right, especially if it's the only perfect match.
All right, so more on that later, maybe.
I think that's basically it. But
I mean, maybe we'll see.
So Kayla is upset about Connor leaving. And after, I mean, she, as we talked about last week, she was trying to keep on a face, but oh, I don't care, I just want them out of the house. But that was clearly just a front that she is still very upset and still very much into Connor. And it all came boiling forward this week.
Why do you think that is? Like, do you think that if she had said to Connor, like, you know, came to him not drunk? I mean, the thing is I feel like they're all drunk all the time. And do you think if she had come, like, maybe she's just, you know, too proud. She's got an ego. That's fair. We all do. And we keep getting these scenes, like you're saying, where she's in the confessional crying or saying that she's hurt and Connor has her heart. And then I can't wait to get those two assholes out of the house. So I don't understand, like, what? Do you think she would have had a chance with Connor had she approached him like, I'm really upset, I really like you? Or were they just going to leave on bad terms regardless?
I think they were pretty much done regardless. And I think the only reason she was just doing it is putting up that front is just she doesn't want to let Connor get the satisfaction of seeing her upset. Is, I think, just more of what it was, that she just wanted to be like, oh, look at me, I'm the cool, tough girl. Like, oh, whatever, Connor's done, I don't care about him, I'm ready to move on. But I think that's also just comes to the level of maturity. Like, if you're a 22-year-old girl, you might be more inclined to try to keep a stronger upfront. Where Chelsea, who maybe is only like a year or two older, she does seem a lot more mature. She maybe have handled the situation differently.
I don't know, though. It is like, I just think in general, it's human nature to be like, you know, you didn't hurt me, I'm fine. It's like Devin, right? This whole episode. But one thing is, who is there comforting her? Is that Stacey?
Yeah.
Because she is a two-faced shapeshifter. Like, that looked nothing like her. I was looking at her for 20 minutes and I was like, is that Amanda? Is that Stacey? Like, it looked like no one I'd ever seen before on the screen.
Well, I mean,
is that just me?
I was able to recognize it was Stacey, but I still think Stacey and Kayla are very much similar people.
No, forget that. Like, I knew Kayla was crying. I was just like, who is this? And it happened once again, like, once later in the episode, where I'm just like, depending on how the camera catches Stacey, I feel like she looks like a totally different person in this episode. Not better or worse, just like,
right,
totally different. I'm gonna need you to go back for the ranch and go back for this shapeshifting.
Okay. I'm actually gonna start writing this stuff down because I never remember. So I'm writing ranch and Stacey Two-Face. Because otherwise I will not remember.
Which, like, will you even remember what that means in 5 minutes? Like, ranch, was there a cattle?
I'd rather leave the note even more vague to see if I can remember.
Perfect.
Baby
perfect
steps.
But yeah, so then we see what to me seems like possibly the most empty connection that we've seen thus far on the show between Chuck and Kiki.
It's so forced by Kiki that she's just so desperate to leave here with, oh, I found someone, that she will literally go to the scum of the group and be like, oh, I believe him. He really just wants to be with someone and happy. What happened 12 hours ago, that's the old Chuck. This is the new Chuck. I mean, it's bad.
He literally says, I've ran my course with women, and she's like, we want all the same things.
It's like, oh, and he wants to be a dad. This is great. It's like, oh, no, he doesn't.
I mean, it's just like, yeah, based on him wanting to be a dad, her wanting butterflies, her expectations are, I want someone who gives me butterflies, and I want someone that I want to see again. Like, I want to leave here being like, see you later, I'm going to fly to visit you. Like, that is the minimum requirement. I mean, you want to visit almost everyone on the show, I'm sure. Like, that is, like, so simple. So anyone could give you butterflies. I mean, Chuck is a great-looking guy, and he's telling you he wants to be a father. Like, of course that's going to make you have butterflies a little bit if you're open to him, despite the fact that he has displayed endless amounts of douchebaggery.
Like, it makes me think, like, I wonder if, I don't remember what Kiki's, like, full backstory was, but she must not have had, like, that much horrible relationships in her life that where someone, like, really betrayed her, because she's just so naive and gullible to, like, what anyone says.
I think she's hopelessly optimistic. Like, they said this, they were in the challenge, there was a callback to her bio, which is that she always keeps a guy on the side so that she doesn't get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you're right there.
Yeah. So speaking of the challenge, should we go to the challenge?
Oh, The one thing that pissed me off that she said is she said, like, what Chuck did to Hannah was super shitty, but if he's my match, I can't feel bad for that. No, if he's your match, it shows that he's a piece of shit. Like, for some reason, Kiki views, like, if he's a mean guy, then he's definitely not my match. And if MTV has decided that he is my match, then he must be a good guy. So, like, if he's my match, then everything he did with Hannah and Brittany is irrelevant because I can't get mad at him because he's my match. So I'm just not liking her logic where later Chuck says, like, or later Chuck plays her out and she's like, well, you definitely can't be my match then. Like, your perfect match can hurt you. There's no, like, you know, laws happening here where they're going to go to jail if they hurt their perfect match.
Right. And again, like you said, they keep forgetting that the perfect matches were, they're determined. You have no say in who's your perfect match. You're like, oh, now I can personally rule out Chuck because he's an asshole, so he's not my match. Like, no, he was either your match before this started, before you knew anything about him, or he wasn't your match. So you can believe, you can be happy or sad if someone's your match, but it has nothing to do with whether or not they're your match or not.
Sorry I stepped on your segue to the challenge, but my segue to the challenge is, you've used the phrase try hard a lot during this podcast. Like, this season was lighthearted entertainment or MTV, whoever is the maker of the challenge, the try hard in this instance.
In terms of
this challenge, just seemed like it was trying so hard to be like an intricate challenge. And it just was like the most poorly explained confusion I've ever seen.
Yeah. And I still don't even get the point of it. Like, why were there only three keys of nine that worked in each section? Like, that made no sense. And why wouldn't they be allowed to pick their date? That made no sense. And there's why was there, like, the quotes? Didn't we just do quotes like 2 weeks ago? So they just have new quotes? Like, these were the backup quotes that they were trying to match? The whole thing was not a good challenge.
I think that was my favorite, like, 30 seconds in the history of podcasting ever. I mean, just like Brian grappling with the challenge. I mean, just why? That was beautiful. Yes, everything you said, I agree. Why? Yeah, made no sense. Except the thing that bothered me was, like, there have been so much more confusing or intricate challenges on The Challenge, on Survivor, on pretty much every show that does challenges. And they've explained it where it's very, very easy to understand.
Right.
Ryan goes through this mumbo jumbo of, like, first you'll do this, then you'll do this, then you'll dig for a key, which you never had to do. You didn't dig for a key. The key was just attached to the X. And then you'll run here, and then you'll assemble a piece with her face on it, and then that will be your date. I was like, I'm sorry, run it back? Like, I didn't read the handbook here. I don't understand what you're talking about.
Like, wouldn't have, just thinking about it, wouldn't the challenge have made more sense if,
yes,
you had the girl,
no matter what you're gonna say,
if you had the girls lined up and then you had all the different quotes, like, leading them, and you had to guess the girl that said the quote, and, well, you dug, and if you're right, so that way you're picking who you want to be the date with, and then you have to guess which quote they said.
In the way the challenge actually played out, it didn't bother me as much as just the general setup. And I get why there were only three keys that worked, so that it's not like you could just grab. Are you saying you wanted it to be only one key worked out of the nine?
No, what I wanted it to be was just that you're not just guessing, because I mean, there was just guessing which X it was, but finding the key should be guessing the right quote, not just randomly picking which X to dig.
I mean, in a way, they did at least try to show us that they were doing it based off of something. Like, you were, like, a couple of the guys were able to figure out which ex was which girl. Like, Alec was right with Stacey. Austin was off when he picked Cheyenne.
Yeah, exactly. But that's my point. They should be rewarded. They're like, oh, they know the quote, so they should just get the key rather than Alec just digging randomly because he doesn't know which ex it is.
Well, no, he got the quote right. Oh, you're saying he should have gotten the
key? Yeah, you should. Once you get the quote right, you should get the key. It's not be get the quote right and then guess for the key.
The other thing you could possibly say is if it was someone like Dev, if you didn't know who you wanted to date yet, but you went to the quote that described a girl that you would like. For example, the girl who said, yeah, my first real kiss was a girl. Devin was like, I'm digging there. Did they ever reveal who the quotes are? I feel like if you didn't catch it, you missed it.
I think the only revealed it be when they, I guess, I assume when they did the cutaway to the person that was the one who said it. So I think it was Rashida who said that. Right. So unless they were just lying and screwing with you, but they didn't show all the quotes.
Yeah.
But I just didn't like the fact that you couldn't pick your date. Like, this is a group that is really sucking. Like, they need as much help as they can. And now not only are you cutting out the options you can choose in the truth booth, you're not even letting them pick the people they want to be with.
Yeah, Nick Fishman asked, do you like that the challenge had a large element of random chance of who you get paired up with? So I think you're saying no.
I would definitely no. But I would be fine with this if this was like a week one or two where it's just like, go meet new people. But at this point, theoretically, they should have connections that they want to be with. So they shouldn't just be randomly paired with someone. They should be with, okay, Chuck wants to be with Kiki, so he's going to seek out Kiki, not hopefully get right and just happen to be with Kiki.
Well, in a way, it did work out, though, because at least Chuck was able to determine that it was Kiki. Like, potentially, if these groups had more connections, like, later in the game you're supposed to, maybe they would have done a better job of being able to pick who the quotes were. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
If they were further along, maybe they, and, like, actually had people they liked, like Chuck and Kiki, Chuck knew who Kiki's tweets was. But not tweets. Sorry, I have tweets because I wrote down tweets because that's the next thing I'm going to move to. Nick Fishman wants to know, what made Alec have a strong change of heart about now wanting to be paired with Stacey?
Maybe he just resigns to the fact that he hasn't come up with anyone else he has a connection with, and all signs are pointing to him actually being her match.
Yeah, I think he also kind of explains that he is just trying to rule out it. Like, either, like, it is what it is, or once we rule it out, we'll have more information. Because it's true. Like, when Alec and Stacey go in, or Brittany and Hunter go in, they'll have a ton of it. Not a ton, but they'll have, A, they'll have more information, and B, they'll stop having to put another couple at the matchup every week to prevent a blackout.
Mm-hmm.
But Stacey, I don't know if you follow Stacey on Twitter.
I did see her rant.
Stacey had a lot to say about this episode, and I think this may be what she had to say last night and this morning goes along with maybe why Alec is not necessarily pursuing Stacey, but is more okay with them being matched up every week. So Stacey, and I don't even have the correct order, but Stacey tweeted, it's not enjoyable for me to watch at all. I wanted to relive my journey for how it all really happened, and my story is so fake, it's gross. Oh, and me and Hunter were hooking up since week 4 until the end, LOL, which they probably won't show because they want to keep me obsessed. And then she says, I'm pretty annoyed with what MTV is doing to my character and editing the fuck out of it, so I won't be watching the show anymore.
Which is totally not true, by the way. Not editing the character, but that she won't be watching.
She wrote this morning, LOL, I feel better today. Next week's preview just annoyed the shit out of me because I look jealous and childish. That's not how it was. So the interesting piece here is that Stacey and Hunter are still hooking up and we're not seeing it. Do you have any reaction to that kind of piece of editing once out?
It is kind of weird. I guess it makes sense why we're not seeing Hunter. Like, if Hunter's storyline is hooking up with Stacey, but they're trying to keep Stacey's storyline of being obsessed with Alec, then they can't really show Hunter. So that explains why Hunter's been MIA the past few weeks. But it's weird that they're not. The only thing I can think of is if no one's making a big deal out of them hooking up, then it's like, why show it? But if people were like, Stacey, come on, you have to move on, you have to find your match, or if they're saying it to Hunter, then maybe that's why they would show it. But if they're like, oh, whatever, let them do their thing, then that could be why they're not showing it.
Yeah, and if Hunter and Stacey weren't ruled not a match already, we definitely would be seeing that because
sure.
I think it would have made more sense with the storyline. But yeah, I agree that no one must be raising hell about it. And also, like, that makes sense why we see Hunter last week maybe say, like, oh, I wish I could pick the beautiful Stacey or whatever. He said that some week recently,
yeah.
And I was like, why is he still saying that?
Yeah.
But now I guess we see. Mm-hmm. And I get why Stacey's frustrated. Like, I can't imagine what it would be like if we sent this to Scott St. Pierre, thank you very much, who edits, you know, the show and gets it together mm-hmm. for us. And all of a sudden, like, it was edited to be nothing that I ever said. Like, and I'm like, wait, you just took all of the words that and moved them around. So yeah. I totally understand her frustration. I think that's beyond, like, it's a TV show, you're a character. Like, if it's genuinely not what's happening. And I mean, this episode, I don't think we even really saw her seeming like a stalker.
No, I mean, the last time we, I think, the did we see some of it last week? I can't. When did she track
him to the bathroom? Stacey picks Alec, and Alec has, like, a moment where he's like...
But I wouldn't put much. I think the biggest thing was, like, 2 weeks ago when she followed him to the bathroom and all that. But the last couple weeks, it's been pretty quiet.
Well, no, I mean, last week, I just think they're keeping the storyline going. The only time we see her is she picks Alec. I think we said, like, inexplicably, she picks Alec, you know, whatever. Like, and he's still saying crap about it, but... Yeah, I don't know. I can understand why she's upset by that.
I can definitely understand the frustration. Because in her mind, she had this whole narrative of what her story is, and it's like, what the fuck? I'm not seeing any of it.
Which is also why now it makes sense that, like, Alec is less, like, running from Stacey, because Stacey's actually not chasing him.
Yeah.
So to answer, get back to Nick's question. Okay, so Chuck wins first place and wins the luxury date, and Austin wins second place with Cheyenne, and they like go to the mall for some ice cream.
Honestly, I think going to the mall would have been more fun. They just went to some rickety-dink ice cream palace and a diamond palace place and just sat outside and just had ice cream.
I mean, it is kind of like The Bachelor sometimes will have this like regular date where they're like they just cook dinner. And then, like, somebody will get a date where they, like, go skydiving into a volcano and, like, come out the other end with, like, a leprechaun waiting for them. So I get why this looks like it sucks. But at least, like, this is the real world. Like, if you're going to actually go on a date, you're going to sit down, you're going to talk. And I wouldn't mind if, like, third place got this ice cream so we could get some more dates in. Yeah. But, you know, I don't know. It was like comical that one person gets a helicopter ride and one person like goes for froyo.
Yeah, and even the way Ryan explained it is like, oh, and Cheyenne and Austin, you guys are gonna get ice cream. And there's you could see clearly the only thing Cheyenne was excited about was the fact that she was just gonna be on land. So.
It was also weird because I keep going back to The Bachelor with these dates because I feel like they're the gold standard for dates. But I just feel like they would at least say, like, and Cheyenne and Austin, like, you're going to stay on land and explore the town, like, the local town. Hmm. And that's when, like, the Bachelor couple are, like, going around, like, shopping, like, trying on furry hats, like, the local, like, you, like, and they could walk and go get ice cream and, like, that would be normal. But he said it as though it was, like, and you're getting ice cream.
And that's all you're doing. 30-minute date. Have her back soon.
So they're not even, like, trying. Like, they could make a date literally for free. I mean, the Bachelor people, like, have to spend their own money, I think, in town. Like, I'm not sure if they get a per diem, but it looks like they're just, like, pulling out cash to buy souvenirs.
I would assume they covered the $5 half coffee, half chocolate, whatever it was that Cheyenne got. But.
Okay, so... So we got a couple questions about the fact that only two people get dates. The first one comes from Sue Cohen. Actually, you'll know how to pronounce her. Is this her maiden name?
Zauner.
Okay, thank you. So Sue Zauner Cohen. This is great. We have the inside tip.
Yeah, I better know that.
I don't think there's a chance that they will win the money unless MTV helps them, whether it's an extra truth booth ceremony or something else. Why do you think they're only having two couples available for the truth booth, unlike last season when there were three? Nick Fishman and Alex Panamaran asked basically the same question, which is, do you think they're being hurt by only having two teams to put into the truth booth?
I mean, it definitely doesn't help. I mean, I don't remember who was closing in on being third this week, but at least it would have given them another option. I mean, Chuck and Kiki still would have been thrown in, but in some weeks you need the third person. Like, that helps. So I don't know why they're doing it. Like, especially because they're struggling so much. Like, back season one, like, they weren't doing that bad, and they got two truth booths. Here, they're taking things away.
I mean, it definitely falls in line with them not wanting them to win the money this year. I think, like your mom was saying, they definitely need to give them a truth booth where they have, like, the whole run of the house to just vote in someone. And if Ryan gives a shit, or, like, MTV cares at all about them and wants them to win. I mean, I say MTV, I mean, but whatever. Mm-hmm. If the production's powers that be wanted them to win, they will be getting a truth booth where they can just put anyone in and two truth booths in 1 week. They've done it before.
The precedent's there.
That's the only hope they have, I think, to come out of this on top.
I mean, I guess I was just off by season. Last year, I kept pushing and I didn't want them to win. I guess I was just off by a year.
But yeah, so I don't know that I think the two teams have, I mean, I guess it hasn't hurt them the weeks that they've done it. I see how it could hurt them, but maybe it's trying to control for people just trying to get a date, because if people just try to get a date, they figure, oh, well, there'd be two other people you could actually vote into the truth booth. Mm-hmm. But if you only have two people, you better make sure one of them is like a real match to get voted in. That's the optimistic side.
Right.
I think it's just budget cuts.
I mean, they couldn't just send two other people to get ice cream this week. Like,
I told you, things are very expensive in Hawaii.
I guess so. Yeah.
All right. So the date itself, kind of boring, I think, on both sides.
Yeah, pretty boring. I mean, the helicopter ride seemed cool. I wouldn't say, oh my God, my life right now is amazing. I think that was a little too over the top. But I mean, it was a fun ride.
I thought Kiki was super touchy-feely in the helicopter, like way more than Chuck. She's like at one point throws her hand back to like rub his neck, like in the front. Like, I mean, she's just like all over him in that helicopter.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, because she just wants her fairy tale thing. So if this is it, she's going to go all in and hope that way she can look back on it and be like, oh, see, I felt it the whole way through.
I also think she's just a really big flirt. And like when she ultimately gets chosen by Nelson, she like runs up just as excited at the matchup ceremony. Like, I think she's just like, like with anyone.
I still can't get a sense of if she's just like the nicest, sweetest person, or if she is kind of fake and kind of a tryhard. I still haven't gotten a good sense.
I just think it's too consistent to be fake. Like, I just think it's so... I just know people like this. Like, I buy it. Like, I totally buy it. I see. It's just like what Hannah said. Like, she's a really good friend of mine, even though I see how she comes off as fake. Like, right. I thought Hannah was just the voice of the people. Like, you would really like her if you knew her, but I understand how you're viewing her on the TV. Like, that's, mm-hmm. I feel like, what she's saying.
Basically.
But yeah, and then, where is this? Oh. In the middle of this date, Ryan announced that there will be a lover's luau beach party, an all-night lover's luau beach party. And there's just something about Ryan saying the phrase turned up that's so unnatural.
It would be like him saying like on fleek or whatever. It just seems like your older uncle trying to be cool or something. And it's just like, you're ruining everything. Just go away. Go away. Like, I don't even like saying turn up. I think it's like a... It just, even for me, it just feels like a weird phrase. And hearing him say it, it's like, oh, go away.
I feel like you're not that much far off in age. I don't think
we are. How old is Ryan?
I don't know, 30.
It's decent. I'm not that close to 30. Let's back up.
You're closer to 30 than you are to 20.
I'm actually equidistant. Although technically, I guess, because I'm more than
20. There you go.
And, oh, that's depressing.
And then this, it's not more depressing than Austin and Cheyenne's date. Because I do think Austin thinks this is going well.
I don't think he thinks it's going well. I don't. I don't think he's even there. I think he viewed this strictly as a business trip. Like, he wants to get money to fund his next venture.
That's fair.
Like that. I don't think he's there. I think he thought, you know what? If I meet someone cool, that's awesome. I'm just here for $50,000.
Which, I mean, I think is like a lot fair of like a lot of, I mean, the attitude a lot of people have. I think we even heard that a lot from last year's cast, where it was like, you know, it was a good opportunity. It was a trip. It was this, like, it worked out. I liked the show. And then I actually fell for someone and whoa.
Yeah.
Did I make that up? I feel like that was.
No, I think we've heard that before. I think we heard that.
Anyway, so yeah, Austin just like, I can't open up because what if they don't like me and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, this is your time to open up. All he's opening up about is his inability to open up.
It feels like, isn't it like a catch 22? Something like that. But yeah, not good for Chuck. Not Chuck. Austin.
It's not a catch Cheyenne because she's not interested.
I love she was like building up to like really shoot Austin down. He's like, well, the thing is, he's just, and then she like kind of calmed herself down. She's like, not my type. And there was like a deeper insult in there, but then she just went for the high road.
Well, what I loved here is, like, I don't need to say anything because Cheyenne always just says it in the episode. So, like, when Austin's saying, like, as soon as I see something I don't like, I cut her out, I stop responding, I let them think I'm a douchebag, and I'm like, ugh, that's the worst type of guy. And then Cheyenne, boom, that's the worst type of guy.
You guys are soulmates.
She's just, like, the voice of the people.
She is. At least for you.
And then I think it's like pretty unanimous from the Twitter sphere, at least the people I follow.
Oh, that they love Cheyenne? Yeah, I think so.
Even Ryan loves Cheyenne. Like he was in charge of Are You the One's Twitter last night.
Yeah.
And he said something like really amazing about Cheyenne, but I didn't favorite it because it was Ryan.
He was trying to get turned up.
And this also caused a huge stir on Twitter when Kiki's like, I feel butterflies and I haven't felt that since Devin, which was like, everyone check your watches, like sync them up like 5 seconds ago.
Yeah. So Kiki, she's frustrating. Frustrating girl.
Well, this is one thing that I'm going to come down on Chuck's side here, just because like, first of all, Chuck is in this whole thing from the date to the truth booth. It's like, Chuck is trying, with the exception of him like having sex with Brittany again in public, Chuck is almost like trying to tease or create like the air that he's like trying to prove himself to Kiki. And Kiki's like, you don't need to. Like here, like Chuck is like, I want to kiss you, but I don't want to mess things up like in the house. And like, that's almost like to a girl who's pissed about everything that's happened, or at least like conscious of it. He wants her to view that as, okay, like he's acknowledging that we have a connection, but he's a good guy because he's not acting on it. He's showing he's just not trying to get with everyone. And Kiki's like, yeah, I totally agree. I want to kiss you. And it's like, you're not getting it. Like he's like addressing the situation and how awkward this should be. And you're just like sailing right by it. And I know Kiki has said in the past, like, oh, she did talk to Devin about this. So maybe we missed the scene where Kiki is like, you fucked over my friend and like you're on watch, like you better walk on eggshells. But we're not seeing it. So all I can say is that like Kiki is buying back into this bullshit way too fast.
Cause yeah, she's like in a bubble. She doesn't want anything negative that could potentially hurt her story to get in that bubble. She just wants to be okay. It didn't work with Devin. It didn't work with whoever it was before that. I don't remember, but I wanted to work with Chuck. So whatever Chuck did, it doesn't matter. It's in the past. This is it. It's going to work. And she just doesn't want to hear about anything that may have happened.
I mean, I've talked about this before, but I think I talked about it with Chelsea and Kayla. I hate when a girl is like, oh, like I'm the exception. Like you literally watched him play two girls against each other. But now all of a sudden, like you're going to be the difference. And I don't know if that's Kiki's ego or if that's Kiki's view of what a perfect match is, that if they are a perfect match, it will conquer who Chuck is as a person. But like the fact, it's just unbelievable to me that she's like all over him and saying like, you have permission to kiss me after the truth booth if we're a perfect match. Because like, yes, maybe you don't care about your friendships with Hannah. Maybe you don't care about Brittany, but you should care about what Chuck has demonstrated of who he is. And the fact that you want to hook up with Chuck after literally yesterday, he just, you know, tried to bang two people. It's just gross. And also the way that he's played them out, like he's like, oh, I'm sorry. And then he runs back to her and he's like, it's just like he's handling himself so poorly that I'm almost on his side. That yeah. I can't believe Kiki's even interested.
It's yeah, and that's why the whole thing. I mean, we'll get to it at the party with her, with when he does hook up with Brittany. I want to hate Chuck on it, but it's like also like Kiki. It's like Kiki should know better. Like this is exactly like what he is. This isn't coming out of nowhere. Like you just saw him do this 24 hours ago. So how can you be that shocked that it's happening now?
Plus, Brittany did tweet that apparently Kiki was all over Devin like right before that issue, but that's Brittany's story.
I mean, I probably believe it. I also believe that none of them remember that night. So,
so this one I loved at the luau. It was like an eighth grade dance where like all the girls are dancing, and then like the bro squad of like Zach, Austin, and Tyler, like, let's get in the middle of this. Come on, guys. It's like, oh my God. It is awkward, I guess, to be at a dance party with 20 people in such a big space.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. At least it's like they all know each other. This was like the first night, so.
It was cute, though. I thought that was like a little cute thing. But
it was something you would see like in like a high school movie or something like that. Like the ringleader's like, all right, guys, let's make our move. And then you hear like the upbeat music start pumping.
They're doing the snaps.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't understand what happened here between Zach and Hannah and Cheyenne.
Zach and Hannah never had a conversation before this, right? Like, this literally
they were matched up at a matchup ceremony, so they must have some sort of.
They were.
Yeah, week three.
Okay, so there's that at least. But I mean, that's the problem with the show. Sometimes is they spend like they invest, they have us invest in couples, and then all of a sudden, because they can't show everything, oh, it's no longer Zach and Cheyenne. It's Zach and Hannah. I mean, do we buy into this? Because in 2 weeks, that might be gone. So it's kind of, it's like Charlie Brown a little bit. Like, we buy into a couple, whoop, doesn't matter, go on to the next one.
Well, it's just upsetting here is because I do think we saw what happened with Zach and Cheyenne. I mean, maybe we didn't, but we got that angry confessional from Cheyenne where she's like, I'm pissed, like, but Hannah Banana got it. And like, you know, she's reacting in only the way Cheyenne could react to this. But she did say, like, I came to the luau wanting to get with Zach. So it's not like, unless she's just being fed that, it's not like there was a big thing that happened where Zach was like, and her agreed that it wasn't working out. But what bothers me is, like, we're supposed to think Zach's a good guy, right? Like, we're supposed to like Zach and Hannah. We're supposed to have liked Zach and Cheyenne against Nelson. Mm-hmm. But what happened here is the quote unquote hottest girl on the show is now available. And so now I'm going to go get with her and have no explanation for Cheyenne. And I get it. You're not in a relationship. You don't owe her anything, blah, 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 blah. But if I'm supposed to like Zach here and that's how you want to edit him, I need some more explanation than Hannah's hot, so I'm going to go try.
Yeah. And even his quote about him going to do it was like, I'm an eagle and I seek out my prey and then I swoop in. It's like, so you were just waiting, what, for waiting for Hannah to get hurt and be vulnerable so you can bounce back on the rebound? Like
boom.
That, like, you could, that could have easily been edited to Zach being an asshole. But they just decided to do it as, all of it's the love story of Zach and Hannah. So, yeah, it's a tricky thing.
I think Zach is benefiting, at least right now, from what we've seen from Shan just being so cool. Because if she, like, wigged out like Kiki, like, she could have had, Zach could have had a lot more heat on him. But, like, he's just, like, making these comments, like, do we have an outdoor boom boom room? Like, he's acting like he's been so into her. And it's like, we literally just listened to you for 6 hours tell Cheyenne that you're their perfect match and you really hope it's Cheyenne and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And you wanted to tell Nelson mm-hmm. and she's so perfect for you, but you have no reason to support it. So, I mean, Zach's bullshit. I still like him on TV. I think he's really entertaining. I'm sure he's a nice guy. But, like, this scene right here did not get enough, you know, backlash. And everyone... and. That's the thing is when we see them together and they literally Hannah just gets naked and like, and then no blurring, like just straight up naked on TV, basically with like a little piece of like black thong is supposed to be a sensor, but Naked Afraid has, I mean, Dating Naked has to do full blur. Anyway, sorry. They are cute. They do have chemistry and it's almost like I'm cheering for them because Hannah deserves this kind of thing. But and I'm like, oh, but like Zach was like scummy about it. And I hope there's more there than Zach just being like Hannah's super hot or it's the same thing all over again with Chuck.
Yeah. And I mean, why is what Zach did to Cheyenne better than what Chuck did to Kiki? They had a connection and then all of a sudden at the party, they're hooking up with someone else. But Chuck's the asshole and Zach's all the hopeless romantic. So it's...
Yeah, it's just the girl's reaction. And I also think it's like history. I mean, Cheyenne and Zach had more of a connection. Exactly. And it was more disrespectful. Exactly. But Chuck had a history and Kiki's going to make a scene. So Zach gets away with it.
Yeah, that's the reason.
Chuck and Kiki hadn't even kissed. Like, nothing had really happened.
No.
But one thing is... This is where I was talking about before. It's like when they're dancing, Chuck and Kiki, Chuck is like, I'm worth it. And Kiki's like, I'm worth it. And it's like, no, Kiki, you're supposed to be a little bit strong and be like, we'll see. Like, you have a lot to prove. Like, yeah. Something. Like, toughen up, girl.
She's just too willing to accept people's faults and what they've done and be like, no, we're good. We're good. Move forward.
Then she has the audacity to say that she's getting good boy vibes from him.
Yeah,
what? Are you kidding me?
from the past 4 hours?
I hope we get a ton of tweets from her explaining this, because I would be happy to hear that there was like a massive scene that we missed, because at least that would make some sense.
Yeah, there has to be, but I don't know.
Have you ever seen The Wedding Planner?
I don't think so.
With Jennifer Lopez and Matthew McConaughey?
Oh, I think I saw it once, yeah. But I don't think, I mean, I... I don't recall it that much. So if you're about to drop a reference, it's going to go over.
Just made me, it literally made me think of it because when Hannah and Zach are making out and she's like, you taste like cinnamon. It's like she's like passed out and she's like, you smell like warm palms or something like that. And I was just like, this is just a rom-com. Look at them frolic in the water, drunk.
Yeah.
Someone will get that. Someone in the universe.
Maybe Plan B will get it.
But then, yeah, as you, we said, Brittany and Chuck have sex again. And this is where Brittany says what she referenced last week. She's like, I'm a hypocritical bee. F it. Mm-hmm. Haley Strong asked me, Allie, what do you hate more, the Survivor gross food challenge or when Brittany speaks?
What's your answer?
I did tweet that, like, after 31 seasons of Survivor, I still have to look away during the gross food challenge. So, but... I mean, Brittany's saying that, I at least, look, I can respect that she was like, I'm a hypocritical bitch, fuck it. But she really does, like, is like nails on a chalkboard for me. Even when I, like, see her dancing, it's just like, oh, like, I just wouldn't want to cross her path in real life.
Yeah, and even what, like, what you said about her being very manipulative in situations, it really is causing me to, like, rethink her. Because now I'm starting to think maybe her whole speech that week really was planned just so she can set herself up for a storyline of being the hypocritical bitch. Because it did seem like she was like, oh, good, now I can be like, oh, I want to be the bad girl and got to get that vibe. Like, now, you've turned me. I think the whole thing has been one big setup by her.
Well, I think you're giving her a lot of credit. I appreciate you saying that I turned you. But I think, like, to be able to construct that type of, like, character work would be, like, more than she's capable of. But I, like, I just go back to what I thought before, which is just, like, it's just when it's convenient for her. If it's convenient for her to cause a scene because nobody likes her and she's mad at the house, then she'll cause a scene about it. And if it's convenient for her to be a hypocrite, then she'll own that she's a hypocrite. Like, she'll just, like, say whatever the hell she wants to say, A, to be on camera, and B, because it behooves her. And that just, like, rubs me the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
But credit for her copping to it, at least.
Yeah,
I guess that's that. More than we could say for some other people.
True.
Okay, so this sets Kiki off. He's clearly not my match.
Does she cry every episode? I can't even feel bad for her anymore. It's like I felt bad for you the first like two or three times. Now it's like it's on you.
I mean, I want to feel bad for her here, but like, it just makes no sense that she put this much stock in someone who literally hurt her best friend in the house so bad.
Yeah. And I love, I think we're up to this, that when Kayla just walks up and be like, oh, is Chuck being a dick? He's a dick. But Kiki's the only one who might buy it. So.
Yeah. And I thought that was weird because Kiki kind of shoos her away after a little while, which to me is something you'd only do if you're actually trying to work it out with the guy. Like, you'd only tell the angry friend to not defend you if you're still trying to make it work.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
She doesn't want anything to not work out until it's fully proven that they're not a match.
That said, if my most forgettable nights were on television, everyone could critique me too. Because Kiki tweets at Kayla, thanks for having my back, baby. LOL, you have dick all over your face. And Kayla tweets eggplant emoji, haha, all over Chuck's face, monkey face with his eyes closed. I don't even remember that. And Kiki says, bah, ha, ha, I don't either. So this just goes into them being characters. Like, they're all drunk, so you take what we're saying about them with a grain of salt.
What is so funny about that tweet saying, like, oh, she doesn't even remember, is that she literally had a line in the episode saying, I will never forget what Chuck did to me.
I didn't catch that.
So it's so perfect. Nope, you totally forgot.
That's really funny. This is what's crazy, is, like, she's saying that she gave everything to him and then she wants to go back to Devon and act like nothing happened.
And I'm kind of a little bit with Devon in the fact that you can't just use me as a backup. Like, either we're moved on and you're doing your own thing, or we're not moved on and we're still together. So it's like, you can't have it both ways. He wants your cake and eat it too. I hate that expression, but it kind of fits here.
I'm completely on Devin's side with this. I don't know that I buy his reaction as genuine whatsoever, but she 100% was trying to make it happen with Chuck and then acting like Devin was going to just be there for her in the same way as he's always been when it didn't work out. And it's just like, he says you got busted. I thought that was 100% true. And then Kiki's like, for him not to trust me over one incident. And I'm like, well, that's exactly how you feel about Chuck, quote unquote, one incident. And now you hate him. Yeah. And you're never going to forget what he did.
Yeah, totally agree. I thought the same thing.
And then, oh, there was one more thing about this Devin thing that, oh, later, I'm jumping a little bit ahead, but later in the continuation of their fight after the matchup, when Devin is like, when Devin's saying everything he's saying, Kiki's defense should either be, I want to make more connections, or it's, I'm going to go try with these people just to win the game, but I'm always going to be with you. And what she tried to do is try to make a legitimate physical romantic connection with Chuck and then still expect Devin to be there, which is like, not everyone is, what's the cancer researcher's name from last year? Brandon.
Yeah.
Like, not everyone is going to let you like hook up with people on a date and then still have sex with you later. Like, and so I completely understand why Devin is like, no, like, get away from me. Because if he didn't hook up with Brittany, you'd probably be in with him in the boom boom room.
Yep. Totally. No, it's Kiki's one man show. I don't know.
One of the things, speaking of boom boom room, is Zach and Hannah go to the boom boom room. Brianna Butler asked us on Twitter, why did Zach have his pants off before his shirt in the boom boom room? This doesn't make sense to me.
I didn't notice that, but. I guess he wanted to go the Winnie the Pooh route.
All right, we'll leave it at that. I think there was like a blur on the screen. He was taking off his pants. He still had his like button down shirt on.
It's a bold look.
He's just like prioritizing, you know, the essentials before she changes her mind.
Right. Get down to business.
That Winnie the Pooh thing is so funny. All right. So I'm distracted now. So then somehow we get this like beautiful, honest moment between Tyler and Melanie. I don't know how it fits in, but I'm happy it was there.
This moment easily could have happened in any moment in the entire season. Like, this could have been like a second day conversation or the second to last day. It felt so out of place. Like, you have these drunken idiots rambling on, and all of a sudden you have a serious conversation about them bonding over the fact that they're each of their dads left when they were a kid. It's like, oh, this is, what show are we watching?
But this is the other thing, is like, where's their, it's like a great connection, but where's the love?
Well, at least they have a foundation. It's better than discussing like you like each other's hair.
Totally, but it's like Chelsea and Connor. Like, is this actually the only way to find your match, is to like just find someone you have a link in common with but have no physical connection with?
That could just be how they're doing the matches.
I don't think these people will connect physically. Perfect match.
You never know. It's these scientists they have working. Who knows what their methods are.
So Kiki and Chuck go into the truth booth. No surprise.
Nope, no surprise. And again, MTV spoiling it with the bar.
Well, right before then, we get Devin's like bullshit immaturity of bye bye Kiki, she's poison, I don't allow females to be in a position to hurt me, which she clearly hurt you. If you're hamming it up for the camera, let's just assume he's being genuine. Mm-hmm. All of this bullshit is clearly a result of you being in a position to let her hurt you.
Yeah, that was and a so weird comment.
This is like psycho Devin.
I thought it was forced. I thought this was him knowing the spotlight would be on in that moment, and he wanted to do something brash, and he thought, oh, let me flip a table. Like, I didn't really buy his reaction at all.
When he was talking to Kiki, I didn't buy it. Like, he seemed like he was like an inch away from like being like, I forget what I'm mad about. But this was like, I don't know if it was like drunk rage. I don't know what he does to pump himself up if it's not true. But then he's like, if they're a match, we win, which makes no sense.
No sense.
And then he's saying, what is it? If they're not a match, I'm going to F her and take her down.
Yeah, that went 0 to 100 real quick.
That's like, I mean, I guess if he's acting, he just does not care how much he's hated and like he will have no ability to get a job.
No, I think he likes being, the villain. He wants to be the villain of the season. And he's doing a good job of that.
Yeah, no, he is. I mean, but it's like, I just wish I bought it.
Yeah, I think it's forced. I think he's trying to be the villain now rather than just being the villain.
All right, so they're going into the truth booth. And I'm like, I have no doubt that Chuck would be able to get Kiki back if they were a match. Like, I feel like they would come back from their first time in the honeymoon suite if they were a match. And Kiki would be like, Chuck and I have an amazing connection.
Oh, 100%. If any of them had Kiki alone and can like really start to push it and wants to form a relationship, she'll buy it 100%, no matter what that person may have done in the past.
And then this is when, so they're not a match, as you said, it was spoiled. And Devin flips the coffee table, and all I could think of was prostitution whore.
Oh my God, that's funny.
I mean,
that actually, I do know that reference, because I've seen that scene many, 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 many times when I was living at home.
That was the most, I think, infamous table flip in reality TV history.
Yeah.
Of Real Housewives, for anyone who doesn't know what I'm talking about. But Brian's
table flip, heard around the world.
And this is what pissed me off, is as soon as Kiki comes back, she's like, where's Dev? And it's like, are you kidding me?
And I love, though, right before that, Rashida's like, he said some really horrible stuff about you. Don't go back to him. Don't even give him a chance. Okay, where's Devin?
Oh, no, I think Rashida said that afterwards.
Oh, I know. I thought she said it the second Kiki came back in the room.
All right, I'll go back. The first thing I have written down, the first thing, is that Kiki says, where's Dev? And that's when Rashida's like, you don't owe him anything. Yeah, he's going to be disrespectful to you.
But then it just cuts to her walking to go find him.
Yeah, well, they do say in the extended scene, someone does say, like, you have to go talk to him.
I guess.
I don't doubt that she would have gone and talked to him anyway, but someone does say, like, you have to go talk to him. Mia Pia, does Devin really like Kiki, or was his reasoning for flipping out because he doesn't want to look like he got played on national television?
I think definitely more of the latter. And I don't even know if it's even that. I think it's just he wants to be the villain, and he thinks this is how the villain would act. So I guess that falls in the latter, but I think it's kind of its own separate thing.
And then Mia P also wants to know, do you guys think Kiki should have cleared it with Devin before moving on to Chuck, or is this all part of the game?
It's part of the game. What was she going to say?
We're not privy to their conversations. Like, that's why I was like, oh, I don't know what Devin tells Kiki about Rashida or whatever. But for some reason, Devin's clear to pursue his perfect match. But Kiki doing nothing really more. I mean, they didn't hook up or anything. That's not okay.
Yeah. And the one thing in Devin's defense is, I mean, have we even seen him with anyone else? I don't really remember that.
Well, he's been dancing with Rashida, and he tells Rashida that he thinks they're a perfect match. And that's like at the party, like they were grinding and he's screaming out like Rashida, and Kiki's just sitting there like chilling. I mean, again, we don't know that Devin's not saying like, oh, we're nothing. I just think we're mad. You know, we don't know their information.
Sure.
But yeah, no, he does. I'm just looking because there was an extended scene, but like Camilla, he does like a Camilla style chair throw. And the one thing is like if. Like Nelson and Devin are dangerously close to leaving with more to like a bigger bill for the damage they've caused in the house than money they're going to get paid for being on the show.
Right.
Like he just like is throwing and breaking everything and then runs away down the street barefoot saying he wants to go home.
That was the extended scene of him just being in the street, and that was wild. Like, are they that close to the road? Like, is anyone else living near them? Do they have neighbors? Can they have a block party? I had a lot of questions when I saw that.
I don't know. I just like, at some point, it's like, what's the cost to production to have him back? I don't doubt that he's going to be invited back. I mean, if CT can get invited back after like numerous, like being, you know, almost killing Adam.
Smash your head and eat it.
That was pretty good. But like they're willing to, you know, if they're willing to work with Brandon Hance on Survivor, et cetera, but I just, like, don't think it's necessary to, like, run into the street barefoot. Like, some of it must be alcohol-induced. Some of it must be ego-induced. And some of it must be conscious.
Yeah. I mean, I don't. They really have a very high, high standard for what it takes to get kicked off a show.
Not kicked off.
Or a low standard. Whatever.
I don't even mean kicked off. I just mean, fuck it, production's not going to invite you back.
I think it all comes down to also not even like how they act like during filming, it's how they act to production. Like, is Devin an asshole to like production? Like during the matchup ceremony, is he like disrupting things and doing all that as being an asshole to them? I don't think they care if he's an asshole to the other cast members. I think if he's an asshole to the production and all the assistants and stuff like that, that could be a problem.
I don't even mean that. I mean running off the premises.
I think they like that. I think like they'll fake hate it, be like, no, Devin, you have to stay on property. But then they go back in the war room. They're like, oh, that was good stuff. Like, did we get all the reaction shots we needed on that? So it's like with the man.
I'm not saying that that's the line. I'm just saying, like, what is the line? And, like, how close is he going to get to it? I mean, I think anytime there is a line between when producers start being on camera and then the actual line of them not liking you. Like, we got is this, like, the first Are You the One scene where we saw some production members because he ran off?
I think so. Although we probably had some when Bree got kneed in the face, I have to imagine. I don't really remember, but
I don't think we saw, like, the medics.
Really? I can't remember, but they had someone there, no?
I don't know that we've ever referenced Are You the One doctors that we've ever seen them.
We definitely don't have the ref.
I'm not saying they definitely had people there. I don't know that we saw it.
Right.
But who knows? Not me.
Yeah.
So then we get everyone trying to explain Austin's strategy, including Austin, and no one can effectively communicate the strategy.
Yeah, I didn't really understand it either. And even throughout it, I'm like, I was trying to think it through, but I just don't really remember week to week who's been paired together. I still don't even remember who the three potential matches are from week one. I can't even remember that. So, okay,
that I can remember, but I also did spend some time doing research because we got some questions about this. But at this point, just watching the show, yeah, we have no idea. They don't even effectively explain what Austin's even trying to say. Like, you couldn't possibly interpret it. All we hear him say is, like, if you only switch three, but that's not even what they end up doing.
No, I don't even know what they ended up doing. Do you? Can you explain that?
Yeah, well, we'll get to it when we talk about the matches. But I just mean in general, like, this doesn't even, like, they don't even, it's not even like we have to think about it. Like, at least the challenge, they explained it, and then we had to think about it. They don't even give us one complete sentence of Austin's thought process.
No, and there was actually a really good question that I saw from our listeners about they're depicting the strategy. About if this
I have
is,
that question.
Right, do you want to ask it?
As I have every question.
Of course you do.
That's not true. So I hope I have this one. No, I do. Didn't have it in this order.
Sorry.
It's
a free-flowing conversation.
No, but I figured we'd get to the matches before we talk about
that. All right, bookmark it.
All right, here. Are the editors setting up the fact that they don't all get the... is this the blame it on the contestants not following their heart?
Yeah.
All right, Billy Gross asks, are the editors setting up the fact that they don't get all the matches this season by including all of the strategy talk so they can blame it on the contestants not following their heart as the reason they fail? Or are they setting up a comeback story for when they finally follow their heart and get all the matches?
I think it could be both, but I think they're definitely showing a lot of strategy because they're sucking. They're like, no, don't do this. I really like that thought process.
But they're not. That's what bothers me. They're not showing the strategy. They're showing people talking about strategy. They're not showing the actual, like, we have no idea what Austin's strategy is. On Survivor, we would have seen this communicated. On The Challenge, we would have seen this communicated. Act like we're going to throw them in so that they don't throw us in. But we're like, you know, I'm going to convince Leroy to save me. But that, like, we get to see that. Like, we're not a dumb audience. Show us one sentence to summarize what Austin is doing and then criticize it. Like, to me, the fact that they're not actually showing the strategy means it's probably pretty good.
And I also still don't understand, why can't you just do both? Like, if Tyler not, like, we'll get to it, but Tyler not picking Mel, okay, it doesn't mean he's not going to pursue trying to be with her. It just means for this matchup ceremony, they're just not going to sit next to each other. Like, how does that affect their relationship? Well, unless Mel is, like, super sensitive, like, oh, no, now I'm not going to be with him because he didn't pick me, that jack off. Like, no, they're just doing this to try to win the game.
Well, apparently, I mean, they don't want to show that you have to avoid your real connections to find your perfect match. Like, that's counterintuitive. That's, like, against the show's premise. Like, the idea is, you will be drawn and you will find your perfect match if you're looking for the right things. And that will also help you get the money. It's not love or money. If it was love or money, then they could keep their love on the side and get the money. But they want to show that to find the money, you have to find your love.
Yeah.
So if you're picking other people and leaving your relationship with Mel, like, that's annoying to the whole concept of the show.
But it's not even that annoying to the concept of the show that they have created. Like, it's annoying to the concept of, like, the way the Win Together, Lose Together. That's why I still push my idea of more of an individual, but I've touched on that enough.
Well, but that's not a matchup thing. That's a truth booth thing.
Yeah.
And I do feel like, again, like we talked about before, like, once you're past a couple weeks in, you are motivated to find your match.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So, I think they have been trying to find perfect matches in the future. They just can't.
Yeah, they're just failing.
All right, so do you want to run down the matches?
Yeah, sure. So we have Chuck picking Amanda.
For friendship.
Tyler picking Hannah.
Nope.
Zach.
Yes, you're right. I'm sorry. Oh my God, that was rude. You're right.
Zach. I have like really like started to rethink my entire life.
No, you're 100% right. I'm sorry. Enjoy my spaghetti. I'm very rude.
Get your life together and fix the profile picture. Zach picking Kayla.
I don't know what he mean about it.
Austin picking Cheyenne. Hunter picking Brittany. Alec picking Stacy. Nelson picking Kiki. Devin picking Rashida. And Mike picking Melanie.
See, that I can say is wrong because Mike just gets wound up with, right. Just gets stuck with Mel. No, the reason I said wrong because Tyler opens by talking about Mel. So that's why I had Mel's name there. And Mel does the cutest like hair flip. And at first I thought that was edited and Mel wrote like, I even fixed my hair. Like I feel like they do have something. Like Mel's interested in Tyler. Tyler says, I never felt like this before, but I do kind of feel like they cut that sentence off.
Yeah, they definitely did.
Maybe he meant, like, I've never felt this way before in the house. Or he had a live-in girlfriend. Like, he had to have felt this way before.
For sure.
But I still think it was cute. And then they kind of put Tyler on blast. Like, they put him in the hot seat. Like, Tyler, are you doing this? Who told you? It's like when you go, like, through customs and they're like, did you pack your own bag? Did anyone tell you to pack this bag? It's like, you know, they're talking to Tyler. Like, he can't figure things out for himself. And, like, putting him, like, the pressure on him. And then he finally is like, yeah, that's why I picked Hannah, like, because Austin told me to.
And it's like, they're all saying, like, Tyler, why'd you do it? Why'd you do it? It's like, they all know why he did it. They're like, oh, well, fill us in. That's what always baffles me. Like, so Hannah really didn't know this was happening? Like, how did they not just communicate to everyone?
Apparently, there was more drama even amongst the guys than was shown. And I'm sure it does seem like they were just all in a boys' meeting. So, like, maybe they are only allowed to talk about the matchups in a room with the guys. Like maybe they get some sort of deliberation or maybe they just make it that way.
Maybe.
I mean, they do seem to be taking ownership for the guys' weeks and the girls' weeks and taking credit. So, you know, I don't know, but that would even be interesting. It would be interesting to see like guys' deliberation go across the screen and like make it so it's more, you know, there's more responsibility and we can understand why the girls are mad. But what makes no sense, and Kristen Kennard tweeted something about this, but it's like, if there's the guys themselves should not be surprised. Like it's bullshit that Zach is like, oh, like now I can't pick Hannah. Like bullshit. You knew you weren't like all of this was crafted.
Yeah, I agree. That's more baffling. If there has to be some conversations going on. Like it wasn't like they're walking off the deliberation and Austin whispered in Tyler's ear, pick Hannah. And then that was the entire conversation. So there had to be more to it.
And this was disgusting when Nelson picks Kiki, Devin just shouts out, like, it won't be over if I don't want it to be. And, like, while that may be true, it's just so gross to say.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who hooks up, if Chuck and Devin are ever on another reality show, anyone who hooks up with either of them is a fool.
And even Zach chimed in, said, like, oh, they'll be back together tonight. Like, Zach's somehow getting a pass of being, like, a secret asshole, but
kind not of, by like, Johnny Langan. But by everyone else.
Yeah.
All right. So Austin's claiming that if his strategy is a success, they'll get 4 beams and that will tell a shitload of information. They only get 3 beams. And Cheyenne gets a great laugh out of it.
So I disagree with Cheyenne about she's saying like, oh, just, you know, follow your heart. It's like whatever it is, do what you want to do. Screw strategy. Like I disagree with that, but she almost makes me believe it because of the way she says it. It's like, oh, Cheyenne, she's got a point. I'm like, wait, no, that's wrong. Don't do that. But she's got a point.
I don't know that it's wrong or right. I mean, they seem to be doing, like, about the same. Maybe they've collected more information here from this week. But, like, I want to go back for our reunion podcast. And who knows if I'll actually do this. There won't be a reunion, but our last podcast. And I want to see if – I'm going to write this down, but I'm going to forget. Someone remind me if you can remember week 6 – I want to know if they had matched with the pairs that made the most sense to us as an audience, if they would have gotten more beams when we find out who their real matches are.
Noted.
That's a self-challenge. All right, so Ebony Hines says, I'm sorry, but what was the logic, quote logic, involved in the quote strategy at the matchup ceremony? Because it seemed like they basically picked names out of a hat. Tyler and Hannah, so random. All right, so the little bit of information that I spent finding, whatever, is they only kept the three people who are still potential matches for that or competing for that one confirmed match in week one, which are Zach and Kayla, Hunter and Brittany, and Alec and Stacey. No one else has ever been matched before of the pairs that they put together, except for Devin and Rashida. They're the only ones that were matched before that are not a part of that week one brigade. However, if they are a match, then Hannah and Zach cannot be a match, which I think is kind of interesting because everyone's kind of saying like, oh, I think Devin and Rashida are a match, but that would blow up this new love connection between Hannah and Zach. Okay. And this is where I think the blackout twist really hurts them, because if they didn't need to protect themselves against a possible blackout, I don't think they would be continuing to repeat these three matches, because basically they're using three matches just to confirm one beam. And those two matches, those two beams can, like, the most beams they can get out of three matches are one. And so those are two dead matches otherwise. And they're repeating them now every week. And I'm sure they're going to continue to repeat them every week. And with the one, with the exception of the week that they let Kayla and Zach pick other people. And that's why it's so desperate that they get them into the truth booth, is so that they can stop taking up these critical spots in the matchup.
Yeah. And hopefully, no, it makes complete sense. And we'll see next week if they create a challenge to allow them to manipulate it to get one of these major couples in. But if they do another one like this, they might not even have a chance to.
Kristen Kinnar, and you're going to have to fill me in on this so I didn't see this tweet. I wanted to retweet Brian's tweet last night about not sitting next to people they had connections with 100 times. Why is Devlin and a bunch of the cast still so obsessed with the going with your hard shit? It didn't work any better than the strategy.
Yeah, so I tweeted out after Devlin said, I see so many people sitting next to people that they have no connection with. You need to keep following your hearts. So I tweeted, they're sitting next to people they have no connection with because everyone they had a connection with aren't their match. So.
No, that's true. But there are connections there that are not sitting next to each other. And it is true that not one person is sitting next to someone they have a connection with, except for maybe Alec and Stacey and maybe Rashida and Devin, just because they have felt like they found common ground. I don't know. But Nick Fishman, did the strategy pay off for the week? Can we say that Alec and Stacey are very likely to be in a match?
I think so. I mean, it seems like a very good chance that they're a match. But I think the strategy paid off, but it's one of those things that's probably just, you can't even judge it until next week.
Why do you say you think the strategy paid off?
I think it, I mean, every week you get more information. So I have to imagine whatever Austin's plan is that I still don't fully understand. He knows what this information tells him, and then he can use it to next week to rule things out and keep it going. I do think it helped.
I mean, they got an extra beam, and I don't think they're, I mean, the end of the day is you got to get either Brittany and Hunter or Alec and Stacey into the truth booth. So moving forward to next week, it doesn't really matter, because you need to put, like, you can't start putting these random pairs into the truth booth to find the one additional match. You have a 50-50 chance. I'm sure it's not exactly 50-50, but basically a 50-50 chance that Alec and Stacey or Brittany and Hunter are a perfect match. I just don't think Zach and Kayla are the third match. Maybe they are.
I don't think they are.
So you put one of those two in, and then you have a pretty good idea of who the other person is, and then you can start getting more information through every matchup. And I don't know that I can say Alec and Stacey are definitely a match, because they're only as much of a match as Brittany and Hunter and Alec and Zach and Kayla are not a match. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think we have any more information on them than Brittany and Hunter.
No.
Except that we're getting the storyline of them, but we've gotten that before and it's meant nothing.
Mm-hmm. That's what makes this so tricky.
Andrew Kirk, what percentage chance do we see Alec and Stacey going into the truth booth in the next two episodes?
I mean, I think what you said, next week has to be either Alec and Stacey or Brittany and Hunter. So 50-50.
Which one do you put in?
I think it'll go the Stacey and Alec way, just because they seem to be more of a couple, that they are more, just seem they're more likely that they would be paired up to go in.
I mean, to me, it makes more sense that Brittany and Hunter would be matched based on being from the South, based on the fact that they just keep picking one attribute. But I would agree with sending Alec and Stacey in, just especially because Alex won a four potential matches for Kiki. So that can just help put some more information together. If he, let's just say they are the perfect match, then Kiki's down to three.
Mm-hmm.
And Kiki finding a match helps everyone. But yeah, either way, I mean, it's ridiculous that they haven't been in yet. Alex Panda Moran, during the honeymoon suite clip, we saw Connor and Chelsea joking how they could be the only ones to get out of the house via truth booth. Is this foreshadowing that could lead to a potential group loss?
I thought that too, that it's an interesting line they threw in there, but I wouldn't read too much into that. I think that was just them just talking and just trying to project something, but I wouldn't read too much into it.
I definitely fall on the side of, you know, it's like in the challenge editing, like in any challenge for any elimination during the challenge, whoever it's edited to look like is going to win is going to lose at the next commercial break. Like
right.
They always purposely try to misdirect you. That hasn't, I don't think, been the case so much in Are You the One? And it's like a little late in the game to have such little information and then still pull it out. But the constant we suck, dwelling on how much we suck and how much we're losing is kind of like a typical MTV setup for a win. But I just don't see how it's possible unless they start giving them extra truth booths.
I don't think that's happening. But, I mean, if anything, they're making it harder as it goes on, not easier.
Well, it's also happened, like, usually we get the, like, one big party and then the extra truth booth. Like, now we got the party, but maybe it wasn't later in the game, but it felt like kind of late in the game, at least for them, to do anything to help them out week mm-hmm. six.
Right.
But we'll see. Kristen Kanar, all we've ever seen so far is a finale ending with celebration. If they lose, how do you think the show will end? An uncomfortable reading of who the perfect matches actually were?
I have always been interested in how they would reveal the actual perfect matches. So I would be curious to see how they'd do it.
I think it could go a couple of ways. It could either be Ryan giving them a huge scolding and like being on his high horse and riding off into the sunset. Or it could be kind of like, you know, we won more than the money. We made lifelong friends. We love each other. You know, it was an amazing experience. I learned more about myself than the money can buy. And, you know, woo, Are You the One?
Right.
Like, we have so much more to learn. Like, the journey's just begun. So we'll see.
I would be curious to see how they would reveal the matches. Like, would they just have, pictures start popping up and stuff like that, or he literally just read a list of names and it's like calling a roll call or something.
Yeah, I don't
know.
Or
maybe they just do it as like the credits come by and it's like an in memoriam type thing. It's like, gosh, this is who actually the matches were.
I don't think they would waste that on just like a rolling screen. but we'll see, maybe. Alex Panda Moran, if the group loses, will it hurt the show's chances at future seasons?
No, I mean, I think just the season in general, I think is hurting it. I don't think from everything I've seen, the ratings probably haven't been that good. And I mean, I don't think them winning or losing has anything to do with if it gets renewed or not.
Do you not even read your mom's own tweets?
Yeah, she says it's not doing well.
Yeah, like from what I've seen. No, so Plainview Sue tweeted us last week that last week's episode had close to 600,000 viewers, which was down from like the 700 something viewers of the episode before. So it's on like a steady trend downward. I think the first episode had like 1.3 million. Did I make that up? The first episode had a lot of viewers. So I thought that was like promising. Like Lighthearted Entertainment was tweeting about the amount of viewers they had, and now like silence from them. Are you in a tunnel, Brian?
I don't think so.
Anyway, the thing that confuses me is there are casting advertisements all over MTV, all over Twitter. There was a commercial in this episode for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they're just casting the show optimistically or if they feel like they're going to get picked up. The one thing I can't get information on is the 13 to... What is the demo? The 13 to... whatever that other demographic is.
14 to 35 or something like that. 14 to 30 or something.
I think it was 13. Bar mitzvah age. Anyway, that the 18 to 49, is it?
Maybe.
Is like the main, is that's the main demo that advertisers like make determinations based on. But MTV's key demo is the younger demographic of 13 to whatever. So I haven't been able to find those numbers. So I don't know if they're somehow doing better in that demographic, but that would mean, like, regardless, they still only have 600 million of the other viewers. So I don't, I mean, 600,000, I gotta pay 600 million. They'd be owning the world. So I don't know. I don't understand where the show is going. I wouldn't be surprised if it got canceled, but they're casting. So
that's something,
whatever that means. This is just a tip. Jim Fowler wrote on rapazowebsite.com in the comments, you might like using RE1.xyz to consider the probabilities associated with various scenarios. In the next week or so, if they, this is like the only season where you can look at these percentage charts without getting any spoilers because they have not determined anything. So if you want to check out this site, it's pretty cool. You can like click a pair and say, oh, if they were a match, how would the rest of the percentages be affected? If they were confirmed not a match, how would the rest of the percentages be affected? So it's fun. You could play with the scenarios without having to think about it. So thanks for that, Jim.
Go for it.
Emily Chrissy tweeted, where can I watch past seasons of Are You the One at? Anyone know? And she included Are You the One, Zach Longo, Brie from last season, and me. So
dynamic trio.
I looked this up. I don't rewatch the past seasons because I watched them when they were on, but I did look in TV. If you Google like TVGuide.com, Are You the One, they like say where you can get the episodes. You might have to like buy them on Amazon or iTunes.
Are they not available on MTV.com?
Some are. I think it depends on the episode. I didn't look that far into it, but if you have more information, tweet at @M_Chrissy, CRISSEY, and let her know. Share the love.
Share it. Share a Coke with the world.
A couple people have tweeted about at us about the challenge, one person being Annalie. And everyone wants to know if we'll be doing a challenge preview.
I mean, first, the new season hasn't even been fully announced yet. So, I mean, I imagine we'll do one, right? At some point. But
yes, before that. I wanted you to be more confident.
I mean, I know it's happening.
I imagine, like, possibly, if the gas goes up, like, we could potentially be obliged.
Well, I don't want to lock you into something and then it doesn't happen. So
that's true. I'm a free bird. Yeah. I'm very unreliable, right, Bradley?
And you're getting a lot of offers from many different podcasts to go on, and I don't know if we're going to have you.
I've had zero offers to be on any other podcast.
No, I mean, we'll be there. But, I mean, I don't think the challenge is really starting until December. So, and again, MTV still literally hasn't even announced the season, so.
We appreciate the anticipation. We don't do a preview until the cast is 100% confirmed and released by MTV.
It will be fun to actually preview this season of the challenge with half the cast being fresh faces. So that's going to be fun. Because it's hard to preview the challenge when it's all like, oh, look, it's Bananas again. Oh, look, it's Zach again. Like, it's what were you going to say? So.
I like that because you could just Wikipedia for the history as opposed to having to, like, creep on their social media.
Right. But then we do half and half.
This is something off topic.
Go for it. Love off topic.
So Andy Dehnart, who's the writer, creator, father of Reality Blurred, which is a great reality television blog, got into a little bit of a scuffle with Mark Summers, host of Double Dare and Unwrapped on Food Network. And I have to just share it because it's so funny. And I did get involved and Mark Summers did tweet back at me. So I just have to, I feel like this is the only venue to share this. So Andy Dehnart wrote an article about a show that Mark Summers is the executive producer of. And he wrote, I wanted to be on Double Dare as a kid. So Mark Summers' criticism of my restaurant Impossible criticism is crushing. And then he posts the comment that Mark Summers, who on Facebook attended North Central High School, commented on Facebook, those that can do, those that can't teach. Everyone is entitled to their own opinion. My mom always said, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. Hard when guys like you are bench warmers who have never produced anything creative in their lives. First of all, Andy Dehnart's a journalism professor, which is possibly why he's saying those that can't do teach. I don't know if he's just saying writers are equivalent to teachers and he just doesn't know that about Andy. But then he's saying, my mom always said if you can't say something nice, and then says you're a bench warmer who never did anything creative in your life. Listen to your mom, Mark Summers. I mean, this is just so funny that this is Mark Summers. Is this as funny as I think it is?
I think it might have been more funny in the moment, but it is enjoyable.
There's no moment. It's a Twitter beef.
But like when you first noticed it, I think it maybe like, oh, this is cool. But then like the
build
up. I don't
think Twitter can be, you had to be there. But I understand maybe if you don't think Mark Summers is a gangster. Anyway, long story short, I just got involved and Mark Summers started tweeting back at me and it just like made my whole life. And then I told him to practice what he preaches because like a badass. Anyway, that's my Twitter feud of the week, is me trying to take on Andy Dennard's feud as my own.
Sponsored by MailChimp.
If you fight with people, I will get involved if I think it's funny to me.
Watch out, world. Lash is coming.
But that's all I have.
Okay, that's all I have. Episode 6 is in the books. It's amazing. Only 4 more of these. It's getting down to the wire.
Time flies when nothing's happening. Although, in general, I really do think genuinely that this has been a really, really great season.
It's been good. I feel like it's been entertaining, but I just don't like this cast as much. I just don't find them as likable, honestly.
People are saying that, but I just think they're keeping it, like, I feel like last season we really only heard from a few voices, and this season maybe I feel like there's just more characters. Whether you like them or not, I feel like more people could get screen time. Like, Zach's a character, Cheyenne's a character, Brittany's a character, Kiki's a character, Devin's a character. Like, I don't feel like the same
goons are
running the house. I liked the goons, but...
Yeah. I think that could be it, though, but... They just showed a lot more of the people we liked last season, which made it seem like the cast was more likable. So maybe they showed a lot more of the cast last season, feelings would have been different. But
call me crazy, because the cast seems to really dislike me, but I like them. I like what I'm seeing on TV. I think I look forward to it every week, and I look forward to talking about it.
Huh, absolutely. Not going anywhere, not changing a thing. And you can hear all our thoughts by subscribing at robinswebsite.com/challengeiTunes. Or you can hear my individual thoughts by following me at @BusDriverJared on Twitter, or following you.
I'm trying to think if the opposite of individual thoughts are like someone I've paid or a group of people I've paid to write my thoughts. But anyway, you can follow me at @LashTweets.
And we'll be back next week, episode 7, to watch these people continue to suck. So until then, have a good one.